Hello, friends. Welcome to today's Light of the Word Radio, which is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This is Pastor Jim, and I know you're going to enjoy the last part of this Dusty Devers sermon. As you may remember, Dusty is a pastor in Oklahoma. He is an abolitionist. He has stood for abolition of abortion. He has preached in many places. He was here in March in Kansas when we had our rally in Topeka and our conference and spoke there. And this message is coming from that particular conference. The interview was done by phone just a few days later. Of course, we played that 2 weeks ago, then first half last week. And now stay tuned with me as we listen to the remainder of this message from Brother Dusty Devers.
Since Roe, over the past 49 years, listen, the prevailing political wisdom, which is worldly, is that compromise is the key to success. At root, pragmatism is the rot of submitting to some other authority than God, some other means God has not commanded or approved. It's easy to concoct strategies to limit abortion or to work within the manufactured bounds of the Supreme Court's subversive authority. That's so easy. However, there are over 65 million plus reasons to show that this strategy of appeasement is an assault against the preborn and a usurpation of God's glory. The pride, arrogance, and blasphemy of his enemies, of God's enemies, does not cause him any uneasiness. It should not cause you any as well. Even if it seems that Christianity is in real danger of being destroyed from the earth, that would not justify our attempt to assist God by worldly political methods, carnal devices, or any means that God has not appointed. This is a battle not against flesh and blood. So do not use flesh and blood weapons for warfare. Do not use puny, pragmatic worldliness to engage a spiritual enemy. We must fight the Lord's battles with the spiritual weapons which he has put into our hands and leave the success to him. Commit yourself to do that which God has demanded regardless of the consequences. John Quincy Adams, an abolitionist, said, "Duty is ours. Results belong to God." A.W. Pink says this, "All the ingenuity of man cannot and will not extend the gospel one inch beyond the limits which our sovereign God has assigned. Rather, we must make open statements of the truth to everyone's conscience in the sight of God." 2 Corinthians 4:2. Our God is in the heavens. And so what does he do? Whatever he pleases. Why does God tell us that he's in the heavens? It's obvious. Because he rules over all. And when he rules over all, he does whatever he pleases from his good pleasure. Does your service to God lift itself in great joy? Or is it a drudgery to serve the God who is doing all things, even enlivening you because of his good pleasure? That's why he elected you, according to the counsel of his will, for his own purposes and his good pleasure. Are you thinking, well, what will work? Or are you thinking, what does Christ command? Are you aligning with pragmatism where you will get the glory, or providence where God gets the glory? Our triune God isn't afraid or shaken by anything going on in this world, whether political, social, or religious. And you must not be either. God is not quaking and shaking. The foundations of the world are. Don't shake with them. Set your feet on the solid rock, the firm foundation. And don't doubt him. God is working his plan and his purpose down through the events of history, Acts 17:25. We therefore reject worldly pragmatism, which dishonors God by making compromises with God's truth for the sake of cheap grace, promoting exceptions to biblical justice for the sake of partial injustice, and delaying equal protection for all to attempt limited protection for the select few. Number three, through the church, not the parachurch or individualistic. Abolitionism is not parachurch, and it's not individualistic. It's through the local church. Jesus obtained the church with his own blood, Acts 20:28. And he commissioned her under his sovereign authority to extend his glorious dominion on earth by making disciples and teaching them to obey all that he commanded, Matthew 28. God has established the church as the pillar and buttress of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. And he has ordained that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might right now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places, Ephesians 3:10. The abolition of abortion is a local church issue. For far too long, Christians have relegated the plight of the preborn to parachurch ministry experts. However, the local church is God's vehicle for bringing about prophetic change among the nations. Amen. Christians are to abhor what is evil and hold firm to what is good, Romans 12:9. To expose evil, Ephesians 5:11. And to destroy the ungodly thinking that defends evil, 2 Corinthians 10:5. You and I are exhorted to rescue the weak from death, and to hold back the stumbling from slaughter. To the church, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples and baptize them and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and I am with you always to the end of the age. So we go as the local church, out with the authority of reigning and ruling King Jesus, the King of glory, to teach the nations the gospel and teach them to submit to King Jesus through repentance, conversion of the heart. And we are the ones who are called to impact our neighbors in our communities with the clarion call of the gospel. Not merely called, but commanded. God put all things under Jesus' feet. And when you see a society crumbling and collapsing, and you see justice collapsing, which we see everywhere around us, you should look at the gods of the culture and then naturally ask, where have God's people, his bride, the church, been complicit? Where have you been apathetic? Where have you celebrated what God hates? Where you find the foundations and the pillars of this world and your societies or your town shaking and trembling, at that very place you will find the battle lines and God's Spirit commanding repentance. Henry Van Til said, culture is religion externalized. Every culture has a God at the center. It's not about whether, but which. Which God is at the center of this culture? Who is ordaining the laws? Who is writing them? Government flows downstream from culture, and culture flows downstream from the church, and the church flows downstream from the pulpits. When the pulpits are compromised, the pews are complacent. And when the pews are complacent, then what happens to the culture? They merely reflect the internal religion of the pews, which are a reflection of the religion of the pulpits. Pastors, no more sleepiness in the pulpits regarding abortion apathy. Wake up, pastors. You are the front lines. Have you shoved off your duty to love your neighbors to a parachurch ministry? Or for others, have you given up on the local church? Are you pragmatically seeking your own plan B in the face of God's plan A? The collective ministry of local churches. That's God's plan A. You cannot obey all of God's commands and not be a member, a covenant member of a local church. You can't. Don't shirk pragmatically like these politicians do and like these pro-life organizations do. Don't shirk the responsibility and create a pragmatic plan that's apart from God's plan A. You're guilty too if you are promoting some individualistic ministry. You're harming the body of Christ. And you're usurping Christ himself. If Jesus is king, that means our politics are his politics to rule over. It means Christians are his ambassadors to bring his ministry of peace and justice. And some of you, God will call into roles of governing authorities. He will do that. Have you prayed, even opened your mind and heart in prayer to God? God, would you have me do this? It doesn't mean he's going to just because you pray. But why wouldn't you pray? Men, if you haven't been involved in the fight, engage with your local church. Now, this is not to say that all local churches are perfectly healthy. They aren't. But that's God's plan A. If you can't find one and God hasn't commanded you to go and plant one because you're not qualified for whatever reason, move. Move to a place where there is a healthy local church. This life is about his warfare. And if you have not been able to find a healthy local church, you need to ask some very serious questions. And if you have asked those questions and sought wise counsel from those wise counselors who are available, then you might need to move. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And when you see the rest of the New Testament worked out, what that church is the overlapping ministry of local churches. You cannot get around it. There's no place for individualistic ministry. Number four, engage biblically, not worldly philosophy. Biblically. Our king's marching orders are in his word, and his word tells us that the only way to make war on that which is making war on Christ is by Christ's weapons, by his rule and reign through his powerful word in every sphere. Number one, to be biblical, you must wield the sword of the Spirit to command obedience to Christ. His word alone, 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5, has the divine power to destroy arguments and strongholds and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. 2 Timothy 3, 16-17. God's word is God-breathed. It's sufficient and profitable that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Is not the word of God sufficient for everything we must believe and everything we must do? Yes, it is. Is God's word not sufficient for abolitionism? Is God's word not sufficient to bring down the culture of death? Oh, it is. God's word is sufficient for accomplishing God's will in God's ways for God's glory. Amen. Isaiah 8:20 says this, to the teaching and to the testimony. Why? Because if they will not speak according to this word, God's word, it is because they have no dawn. It means that they are bound for hell. If you won't speak according to God's word, it's because you are bound for hell. Those who are being rescued don't speak as such. That's how non-Christians act. A Christian would never say, we're not going to use the Bible. Second, to be biblical, you must reject cunning and preach to the conscience. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, you must not tamper with God's word. It says, we have renounced disgraceful and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or tamper with God's word. But by open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Don't veil it yourself. That's God's sovereign design to do what He will with His gospel. You are not to veil it. Do you have the sword of the Spirit sheathed in this fight, or do you take it out and swing it? Do you wield the word? We unapologetically must stand on the word of God as our final authority when we call abortion murder and demand justice and equal protection for all without showing partiality, which God hates. This is the only way we will teach them to command, to obey all that Jesus commanded. That's the only way to fulfill the Great Commission under our King Jesus. There is no other way to fulfill the Great Commission other than to teach them all that Jesus commanded. Do you submit to all that Jesus commands in your own life? Are there areas and patterns of sin that you see unattended to? Repent now. Wield the word even to your own soul, and so that you will be set aflame by that word that cuts deep, so that the fire of the holy fire of Christ and His zeal would come out of you for the sake of your preborn. Number five, lastly, it's sought immediately without compromise, without delay or exceptions. When the blood of our preborn brothers and sisters is crying out from the ground, we must not take a posture of negotiation or delay with those leading their children to slaughter or politicians who are writing laws to murder babies. We must not take a posture of negotiation or give approval to murder or write laws to murder babies. These iniquitous decrees. Friends, this is what pro-life bills do. They author murder. They approve of it. They define for this world, against God's word, when, where, how you can murder the preborn. Even if it's by negation. We're going to protect these. We're going to say nothing about those. Over the past 49 years, with 65 million plus abortions, traditional pro-life laws, though often well-intended, have not established equal protection and justice for the preborn, but on the contrary, appallingly, have established incremental regulatory guidelines for when, where, why, and how to obtain legal abortion of innocent preborn children, thereby legally sanctioning, encoding abortion. We understand that in His providence, in this fallen, rebellious world, God may work in increments. But those should always be understood as prophetic indictments against the hardness of our hearts, not a godly strategy. The passage of incremental bills are divine judgments, not strategic victories. We must establish justice for the preborn immediately. Unequivocally, abortion is murder. We must not embrace an incremental approach to ending abortion, but rather reject it. Why? Because these five reasons. Incrementalism allows for exceptions to the legal protection of our preborn neighbors. Is that how you would want to be treated? We're going to make exceptions for your life, but not the lives of your children. Or we're going to make exceptions for the lives of your children, but not your life. Incrementalism allows for exceptions to the legal protection of our preborn neighbors. Second, it compromises God's holy standard of justice. Number third, incrementalism promotes God-hating partiality. God hates partiality. When we show mercy to the wicked and we damn the innocent. That's what pro-life incremental bills do. Number four, incrementalism challenges God's lordship over the heart and the conscience. How does God work on your conscience? Does he work on your conscience by letting you off the hook? Did he write the law on your heart partially? Is God imperfect in the work that he does on your life by in your creation and writing the law on your heart? If we pass bills that promote incremental change or codify the injustice towards our neighbors, then we are usurping the role of the conscience. Our laws should equal what God is doing in the conscience. It should not war against the conscience. In that way, we train the culture to serve another God, not the God of heaven and earth. It challenges God's lordship over the heart and the conscience. And last, number five, incrementalism rejects God's command to repent of sin completely and immediately. It says you can repent partially and God will accept it. And you can repent later because God is not really seeing. God doesn't really care that much about what? His own holiness. You see, incrementalism denies the holiness of God. It's really an assault against the high king of the universe. Abortion must be abolished immediately, without exception or compromise. We must humbly confess and repent of our complicity, our apathy, our sleepiness, our indifference in recognizing any exceptions that legitimize or regulate abortion. We must repent of our apathy and indifference to not laboring with the power and influence you, each of us, has to abolish abortion. Set it in your minds today, brothers and sisters, that you will engage with God's help in establishing equal protection for the preborn according to the authority of God's word, as well as local and federal law. Because God has written even some laws that support this. And call upon pastors and entity leaders to use their God-given gifts of preaching and teaching and leading with one unified principled prophetic voice to abolish abortion. Finally, because abolishing abortion is a Great Commission issue, you, saints, must call on governing authorities. They are part of the all people that must be taught. You must call on governing authorities at all levels to repent and obey everything that Christ has commanded, exhorting them to bear fruit in keeping with repentance by faithfully executing their responsibilities as God's servants of justice to bring terror upon the evildoer. And you must work and call them to work with all urgency to enact legislation using the full weight of their office to interpose on behalf of the preborn to abolish abortion immediately without exception or compromise. So friends, have you made deals with the devil? Have you compromised God's holy standard of justice that all image bearers deserve equal protection? Do you love the preborn as a mother or as a father for the fatherless? Who will stand up for those orphans? What is pure and undefiled religion, church? Who will stand up for them? The church must. That's why God has placed us here in this time. King Jesus will abolish abortion, won't he? He will use his bride, the church, to bring about, as Jesus, bring it about as Jesus commands, under every enemy, and bringing every enemy under his feet. But it will not happen without repentance and without you. God demands that you wield his word in conflict with the culture of death according to Jesus' command. Friends, our methods matter to God, so they must matter to us. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, wage the good warfare. What is that warfare? Holding faith and a good conscience. You must not fight according to worldly, fleshly, or demonic wisdom, or you will make your faith and others shipwreck. If you do not fight by faith and a good conscience, there are deadly consequences. Deadly. Trust him. Wield his word and see him take dominion and footstool and dominionize this world for his glory, your joy, and the joy of the preborn who are rescued. Let's pray. God, cause us to be faithful to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, Brother Dusty is exactly right. The weapons that we fight with are not of this world. We cannot fight the battle against abortion or anything else in the way the world fights. We must do them according to God's word, according to God's spirit. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but of divine power to destroy strongholds." Or John 14, verse 15, I think is important in any fight, because it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, this is Jesus. He says, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. Folks, I think it's extremely important that we do things according to his commandments, according to his ways. Unfortunately, it's so easy for us to get caught up in the ways of the world. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end is the way of death." We have so many things that are coming up against us as we fight the battle for the unborn. And friends, we just need to fight it according to God's word. Exodus 20 and verse 13 says, "Thou shalt not murder." Thou shalt not murder. It doesn't say you can only murder some, you can only murder these, you can only murder those. It says you shall not murder. If we love Jesus, then we will keep his commandments, and this is his commandment, that we shall not murder, nor shall we have any part of murder. That means we will not agree to or vote for any kind of legislation that would be okay with murdering some. No matter what the circumstances, murder is murder. So join me in saying no to murder. No to legislating, to regulating murder. If you'd like to contact us, or if you'd like to give to this ministry, you can reach us at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. That's Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. Or by calling 1-800-416-9352. 1-800-416-9352. And of course, at our website, lightoftheWordRadio.com. And until next time, Sole Deo Gloria.